together and invite the presence of the Lord to our Bible class this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Oh, we appreciate so much your goodness to us, God, your help and your hand. Oh, God, let us never forget how privileged we are to know the truth, oh God, to be in fellowship, to be in communion with you. Oh, we desire your presence to abide with us in this house today, oh Lord. We magnify the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Welcome everyone to our Bible class today. We are turning to Matthew, the 25th chapter, dealing with a very important principle in the Word of God today. And trust that you're ready to receive. Amen. I certainly want to be a blessing to your walk with God today. We're reading a couple of verses toward the middle portion of Matthew 25 and then several other verses later on. Verse number 14 of Matthew 25. Notice what Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." Would you say the kingdom of heaven? So he likens the kingdom of heaven as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Now, those of you that are familiar with the story, we may have time later on this lesson to get into the particulars of it. But this man went into a far country and comes back and then begins to reckon with his servants. And the one that had been given 5 had made 5 more. And he was told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." The one that had been given 2 talents had, again, doubled what he had been given and had made 2 more. And he said the same thing, "Well done." And to this servant that had been given 1, we pick up here with verse 24, that he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury." You should have at least invested into a bank and earned some interest. That's the least you should have done. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29, "For unto every one that hath," would you say that hath? To every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But notice this, but from him that hath not, would you say hath not? From him that hath not. That's our way of saying from the one that does not have. Shall be taken away even that which he hath or does have. That's not a contradiction, but it does have my attention today. Verse 30, "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to teach today from Matthew 25 on this subject, the haths and the hath-nots. the haths and the hath-nots. Can you say amen? Amen? Lord bless you. Please be seated. Now, the parable of the talents that we have read portions of in Matthew 25 is a kingdom principle. It starts out, the kingdom of heaven is as a man that took a journey. So Jesus is giving us an insight into how the kingdom of heaven operates. Now, this is not an uncommon occurrence in the Word of God. Jesus often, as we'll find later, even especially in the Gospel of Matthew, he spends a lot of time, if I could use the word, illustrating the kingdom, typifying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to things that men on the earth can comprehend and understand, to help us understand the things of God. And oftentimes, again, as he did here, he used a parable. Parable is simply a story, an illustration, an example of something that is more common to help give understanding to that which is more complex. How many knows that God's ways are above our ways? His thoughts are above our thoughts. How God does things is above us. But God is not complicated. Now, he can be as complicated as he needs to be, but I don't want God to be complicated. God is a God that wants to be understood. Amen. He wants you to understand him. God's not playing mind games today. That's not how God operates. And so we want to understand what is being said here, because it seems that what is being stated here is an apparent contradiction. From him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. Well, does he have it or doesn't he? From him that hath not, he doesn't have it, shall be taken from him that he hath. He has it. Well, does he have it or does he not have it? Yes. Just hang with me. I would apologize, but I'm not sorry. So the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Jews who were looking for an earthly kingdom. It was all about who's in charge. They were under the rule of the Roman government, and they had had their fill of it. And so even the disciples, Lord, when will you establish your kingdom? And even when he was riding in to Jerusalem at his, what we call the triumphal entry, they still had that physical kingdom in mind, for they were laying their garments in the road and waving palm branches, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They thought, he's finally arriving. We're finally going to get what we want. He's finally going to deliver the Jewish people from the Roman government and control. That's not what Jesus came to do. He did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Now, we are earthly people. We are members of the human race. There's a lot about living life that is obviously natural and physical. Let me tell you something. God's motive and motivation for you is not an earthly kingdom. Now, does God multiply and bless and provide? Absolutely, and thank God for it, but that's not what it's all about. It's not about the name brand of your clothes. It's not about the car you drive, your address. It's not what it's about to God. A lot of times, God, that's just things that we have been given naturally, and it's a lot of natural ability. Natural ability produces natural results. A lot of time, does God bless? Yes, he blesses. Amen. But so much of the time, we want to equate natural standing with spiritual things. And that's foolishness. Because there's a lot of wicked people in this world that are very wealthy. There's also good people that are. And so it's not a spiritual thing. I think you understand where I'm coming from. Thank God for us. I'm not negating the blessings, and that's part of the kingdom of God. But that's not heaven's motivation. If I could say it this way, that's not why God gets up of a morning. We know he never sleeps. But if he did, he wouldn't get up in the morning to make sure that you got a raise on the job. That you got to do everything that you want to do in this life. It's not about this life with Jesus Christ. It's about the life to come. And so it's still not about an earthly kingdom. We want to throw the Jews under the bus because it was about their kingdom. But what about our kingdom? What about our freedom? What about our pleasure? What about our enjoyment? What about living the life that we want to live? Let's be honest with ourselves. We spend a lot of time praying about us, don't we? We spend a lot of time praying about our feelings and our desires and our ambitions and our goals. Amen. Nothing wrong with being motivated and pursuing excellence. That's good. But don't be an idolater. Seek ye first the what? The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he said the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is likened unto a man that went into a far country and divided his goods to his servants. Amen. And so Matthew 6, we read in verses 9 and 10, Jesus was asked by his disciples, teach them to pray. He said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's about the will of God being done as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is to override the kingdom of the earth. Hear me. We're not to impose our earthly will on heaven. But we are to submit to heaven's will here on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is. The will of God is being done in heaven. God's got it like he wants it in heaven. It's as things ought to be, even in the earth. As it is in heaven is how it should be everywhere. And so that's what we're to pray. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Period. Is that what it says? Yes, sir. Thy kingdom come. It's about the kingdom. Somebody say it's about the kingdom. Amen. Several times in the Gospel of Matthew. For example, in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. Kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed. It's likened unto leaven. It's likened unto a treasure in a field. It's likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Likened unto a net that was cast into the sea. Matthew 18, it's likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. Matthew 20, likened to a man that is an householder. Matthew 22, likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The 10 virgins is a parable that is likened unto the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins. Finally, later here in Matthew 25, a man traveling into a far country. And so again, it's about the kingdom. I want you to get that in your heart and in your mind today. What we're talking about today is a kingdom principle. This is not just something rattled around in Brother Waldrop's mind. This is not just another adult Bible lesson. This is a kingdom principle. I want you to notice that all these servants, it would appear that there are obviously at least 3. There may have been more. It did say to the one was given 5, to another two, and to another one. There may have been other talents given, but these three servants were singled out, but they were all servants. They were all in the house. Amen. That's important for you to understand. Don't just read over this. He didn't just grab somebody off the street and say, here, I've got something I want you to take care of for me. No, these were employees. These were servants. Amen. They were house residents. They were brothers and sisters, if you please. We would call them saints. They are in the kingdom. They're servants of the master. And so to the servants, the master divided his living or his substance. And it says here, he divided to them every man according to his several ability. Now, this is an important point. They were allotted talents according to their perceived potential to increase what they were given. There was a reason why the one that was given five was given five. He had earned the opportunity. He had earned the respect of the master. This wasn't his first rodeo. This is a profitable servant. He has earned the right to have been given more opportunity because of his faithfulness. I think I want to show this in the scriptures here as this unfolds. Now, boy, if it wasn't for this human nature. So there's varying degrees of ability here. According to their several ability, what's that saying? The one that was given five had more ability. Well, Brother Walter, I don't like that. I'm sorry. Deal with it. I didn't write this. These are red letters in your Bible. Jesus said, by this, there are folks in the master's house that have more ability than others in the master's house. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but you need to pray through. You need to understand. I may have more or I may have less ability than someone else. It's not about how much ability I have. Everybody was given an opportunity. The end of the story is not about the ability. The end of the story is what they did with what they had been given. The roles could have been reversed. We could very easily, just for example's sake, let's just say that the one man that had been given the one talent went and did something with it. And the one that had been given five, he went and dug a bigger hole and dumped all five of them in the ground and saved them till the master come back. This story would be reading different. The one man that had more ability and was given more talent, more responsibility, more potential, would have been what he had been taken away from him. So it's not about your ability altogether. It's about what you do with it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. At least a religious nod. Some of you are really good at those religious nods. Oh, well, I feel good today. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's deal with this. Paul says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Don't you dare. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, Paul says these are not wise. If they're not wise, that means they are unwise. wise. The Living Bible, I like reading from the perspective of the Living Bible. It just kind of puts it how I like it. And I like the King James, don't get me wrong, but just using some different words here to get across the same message, make it a little plainer. Paul writes, "Oh, don't worry. I wouldn't dare say that I'm as wonderful as those other men who tell you how good they are."
A little sarcasm.
Maybe that's why I like the Living Bible. "Their trouble is that they are only comparing themselves with each other and measuring themselves against their own little ideas." What stupidity. Surely I'm not the only one that likes that version. Amen. Oh, I wouldn't dare. This is their problem. They're measuring themselves and comparing themselves against their own selves, their own little ideas. I'm doing pretty good because I'm doing better than so-and-so. And as long as I'm doing better, can I tell you something? God doesn't grade on the curve. God doesn't grade on, what does that mean? A teacher that grades on the curve, the grade is based on the performance of the best student. And so, say there was a test given, and worth 100 points. Well, the highest score in the class may have been an 80. Well, now 80 is 100, grading on the curve. And so what's expected is adjusted based on human performance. God doesn't grade on the curve. He grades on the cross. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. It's not how you're doing compared to others in the church. Amen. Hebrews 12. Amen. Seeing then that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what are we going to do? We're going to run this race with patience, the race that has been set before us, looking unto who?
Jesus.
That's who I compare myself with. Well, Brother Walter, I'll never measure up. That's exactly right. But I never get lifted up in pride and feel like I've arrived because I'm doing better. Amen. I might be doing better or worse than you, but you are not the example. Jesus Christ is the example. I'm looking unto Jesus. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. That word follow there means imitate. Do what I'm doing. You know why? Because I'm doing what Jesus is doing. I'm doing my best to be a good example. I'm following in the footsteps of the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. Amen. I heard a story one time. Renowned minister preached at a Bible college, and after the service, all these young men who had idolized this man, and they were picking his brain. What do you study? How long do you pray? And they were wanting all the nitty gritty of how he does it. Well, they're comparing themselves. I can't preach. I'm going to preach like that one day. They were worried about being like him rather than being like Jesus. Am I helping you? And so we're compassed about with a witness, and we're to run our race with patience. But we're to run with our eyes on Jesus. Turn, the song says, your eyes on Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I've got Jesus to look to today. Verse 29, again, this principle here, for unto every one that hath, he has shall be given. So if you've got it, you're going to be given. He shall have an abundance. You're going to have some more. Okay, I can get that. But from him that hath not, you don't have, shall be taken away even that which he hath. Wait a minute. Okay, now we got a problem. If he doesn't have, how can it be taken away? You can't lose what you don't have. That's impossible. So Jesus uses this kingdom principle in other instances. Let's look at Matthew 13. The disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. He uses that same, almost verbatim, word for word. He that hath shall be given. He that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. Lord, what are you saying? What are you talking about? This attitude here begins to manifest itself. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because they, hear this, they seeing, see not. Do that. What are they? Are they seeing or are they not seeing? Well, seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Notice, for this people's heart, everybody say their heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Why? You're not closing them. They're closing their eyes. You know, you don't stop seeing necessarily when you close your eyes. You just see differently. What I'm seeing right now is darkness. My eyes are working. My eyes are open. My eyes are just as open now as now. But my perspective and my perception is different, isn't it? Based on what I'm doing to my own vision. Anybody ever hid your eyes or something you didn't want to see? Or closed your eyes? That was your actions that influenced and affected your vision. And so we can control and we can influence what we see and what we hear. Jesus said, I'm speaking to them in parables. Here's the deal. If you don't really want to know the truth, you won't really listen. And you won't put forth the effort to try to understand what I'm saying. And so seeing, they see not. And hearing, they see me, but they don't really know who I am. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Hearing, they hear not. They hear the words, but they don't get the message. It has a lot to do with what we read in Hebrews. The word preached did not profit them. They were in the service. They heard the scriptures. They heard the preacher. They heard the voice. But they didn't receive the message. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so what we're seeing here manifested is an attitude of the recipient. Because of their own actions, they're being affected in a negative way. Verse 17 of Matthew 13, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard. They didn't have the opportunity you have. Another place we read that the prophets desired to look into these things. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 16. another instance where Jesus uses this phraseology. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed. A light has a purpose, right? You don't light a candle or a torch to minimize the influence of the flame. But you're lighting it for a reason. It has a purpose. And so, but he setteth on a candlestick that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Verse 18, hear this. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Somebody say, how I hear. Pay attention to your attention span. Notice how attentive you are. Take heed how ye hear. When the Lord is speaking, pay attention to your response and your receptiveness to the voice of God. Are you hearing this today? Again, and Jesus says this, for whomsoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Okay, so we're seeing this used repeatedly here. This principle, this kingdom principle, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And him that hath not, from him shall be taken that which he hath. That same scenario is used in Mark chapter 4. It bears reading because he throws a couple of other nuggets in here. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 21. He said unto them, It is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. Notice what Jesus says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got the potential, tap into it. If you have the ability, use it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then say it. Use what you've got. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. Pay attention. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. Are you kind of starting to get the drift of this? If you're putting forth some effort and you really have a desire to take advantage of opportunities, you're going to be given more opportunity. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. Amen. And unto you that hears shall be more given. Again, verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so again, this question keeps coming back around. How can something be taken from he that hath not? He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Does he have it or does he not? And earlier I said yes, and this is why. The servant had been given one talent. Somebody say he had a talent. And the master said, take the talent away. But not initially. The principle was, he's got one talent. And so we know what's being taken away. This is clearly not a lack of something that had been given. Right? He had been given the talent. The servant had been given a talent, and that was what was taken away.
The hath not. He that hath not. It's not the talent. He's been given that. He's got that. That's what was taken away. But why did he say he that hath not when he had a talent? He had something. The hath not was not the talent. But the hath not was a reason why the talent was taken away from him. So what's the hath not? What's the hath that he that hath has? Help me, Jesus. That causes him to get more from the master. And what is that hath not? What is missing in the hath not that causes what he has to be taken away? There's something here that somebody has and something doesn't. The hath and the hath not. It's not the talent. He's not saying the one that doesn't have a talent, take the talent away. You can't take something that he don't have. And so the hath not is not the talent. The Amplified Version reads, for to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. And he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. What is the hath and the hath not? It's your attitude about what you have from God. The one that has the right attitude, give him more. And the one that has the wrong attitude, that attitude was manifested in what they did with it. The one that was given five, Lord, I took the five and made five more. That's a right attitude. That's a right approach. That's a right focus. You've got a right motivation. The one that had been given two, Lord, I took the two and made two more. Wonderful. Well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I'll make you a ruler. You did right with what you had been given because you had a right attitude about it. Do you not understand that actions don't just happen, but actions are motivated and caused by attitude? Attitude is affected or affects actions. This same principle is manifested in the story that Jesus told about the man with the two sons. And he went to one and he said, go work in my field. And he said, I ain't going to do it. So he went to another one. He said, go work in my field. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But the one who said he wouldn't did, and the one who said he would didn't. Did you hear that? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, which one did the will of the Father? The one that initially said, I'm not going to do it. But what happened? Evidently, he repented. Right. He changed his mind in a right direction. Amen. Right. Amen. And so the will of God is not, oh God, help me. The will of God is not always established and predicated on what you say, but it's always manifested on what you do. The first son said the wrong thing initially, but obviously come to his senses and went and did the right thing. The second son said the right thing, but there was no action to back it up. So it's not what you say, it's what you do. It's what I do. But what I do is affected by my attitude. The one that was given more opportunity, he was given more opportunity because he had earned it. He got a reward for doing right with what he had been given. I see no, well, he was given five and I was just given two. Who does the master think he is? First of all, it wasn't theirs to decide. It was the master's talent. The one that was given one said, I took thy talent. It wasn't mine, and it's not yours. Anything you have belongs to God. That's why you have it, what you have. And if God in his omniscience and omnipotence chooses to give to someone else more than he gives to you, you know what? That's God's business, not yours. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves and say, well, if I had so-and-so's this, or if I could do so-and-so, if I grow up and pray through, or pray through and grow up. Because it's going to be hard to grow up without praying through. Amen. Lose your attitude of negativity and competitiveness. That's really what it boils down to, is you've got a problem with what somebody else has because they're going to get more credit and attention and glory than you are. Well, nobody deserves the glory but God. Right. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. So it's not about glory. It's not about attention. It's not about credit. It's not about attaboys. Right. It's about doing something with what the master gives to me. Yes, and to whom much is given, of him shall be much required. Before you want somebody else's talent and ability, you might want to consider that when you're given more, there's more required. Amen. Right. Yes, sir. Amen. And you're talking all this, that if I had so-and-so and so-and-so, I'd do this. Well, how come, if that's the case, why aren't you doing something with what you do have? Right. That's right. Yes, sir. I'm not trying to be belligerent. I'm not trying to be out of the way. I am trying to be forceful. Now, I'm trying to make a very, very strong point. We have been given from God, and it is imperative that we do right with it. But in order to do right with it, we've got to have a right attitude about it. He will not say well done to those that have not done well. So it's very obvious here that there was attitude involved. I took you five, master, and I made five more. I took the two that you gave me, master, and I made two more. They both got rewarded. It's like they were placed in the same degree of reward. You took what you had and you did something with it. You doubled it. Now, was the one that was given just the one talent the only one that knew how his master was? Of course not. They were all servants. They knew the master. And so, the one that was given one, he came with his one talent and said, Master, I know how hard you are. Problem. Red flag. Attitude. So because I know how hard you are, I just went and dug a hole so I wouldn't lose it. I hid it. I protected it. I covered it up so no one would take it away from me. The master said this, what wicked and unprofitable servant. You should have at least taken it to the bank and opened up a savings account and earned a little interest. You should have at least done something. When I've come back, you're giving me just what I gave to you to start with. That's unprofitable. There's no profit. That lets me know, again, kingdom principle. When the master returns, he expects a return on his investment. It is my responsibility as a servant to present to him more than what he gave to me to start with. Oh, help us, Lord. I hope this is getting down into the fibers of your soul this afternoon. I want a right attitude about the kingdom. Amen. Amen. I said I want to do right with what I've been given. Amen. But from the one who does not have because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts, from God. It's your attitude about what you've been given that determines what you'll do with it. And what you do with what you've been given determines your eternal reward. Because he said, cast the unprofitable servant out. Matthew 13, the Amplified Version, whosoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given, and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whosoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, if this doesn't really mean all that much to you, you won't spend much time with it. It's your attitude about it that determines its effectiveness in your life. Even what he has will be taken away from him. Luke 19:26 on the Amplified, I tell you that to everyone who has, because he valued his gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, because he disregarded his gifts from God, even what he has will be taken away. It appears the key element in success in the kingdom, everybody say the kingdom, is a right attitude about what you've been given. Doing right with what you have been given to do. And so what's the next step in this? He that has a right attitude about what he's been given will be blessed. He'll be given more. And he that hath not, he that doesn't have the right attitude and appreciation and respect for what God has given to him, what God has given will be taken. You can't lose what you don't have, but you will lose what you do have if you don't have a right attitude about it. So, what has God given? What am I to have a right attitude about? What am I to do right with because the master has bestowed it upon me as a servant? Well, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive. I would say receive. That means somebody's given it to you, right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Some folks love to feel the presence of God, but it's all about the feeling. It's all about them. They don't take what's been given to them and really do something with it. It's what the gift does for them. It's all about how I feel. It's all about my happiness. It's all about my peace. God did not give you the Holy Ghost for you to feel good. He gave you the Holy Ghost to have authority. You shall receive power. Dunamis, inherent power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. I keep going back to this in this adult Bible class. Thank God that I can have overcoming power on my human nature. I stand toward the front of the line. There's some of us have a more challenge because of what we received inherently from our fathers. Attitudes come easier for some than others. Let's just admit it. Let's just admit it. Everyone's, can I say it this way? Emotional metabolism is not the same. Someone reminded me that I hardly teach a Bible lesson without talking about food, and so I don't make them a liar. Why is it that somebody can eat like a horse and be skinny as a rail? And someone else can diet religiously and still gain weight. Metabolism. Well, it's not fair. Well, no duh. Some folks by nature have higher, it's bad for your heart. Cholesterol. I mean, they watch what they eat. They restrict their diet and they go to the doctor and the doctor says, here's some pills because you have high cholesterol. What? And these other guys are eating fried foods and bacon and hamburgers and pizza. And man, their cholesterol is perfect. That's not fair. Sorry. Life's not fair. Let's get on down to more than just physical attributes. There are some attitudes that by nature we've been given. And some of us have just been given more to deal with. I'm saying us. I'm not saying you. I'm saying me too. There are things that every personality trait has a challenge. Every family has a spirit that needs to be overcome. Tempers, grudges, attitudes, self-pity, excuses. There are personality traits in every family. Some good and some bad. And it just happens to be that if you are in such a family that has more emotional and attitudinal challenge to overcome, guess what? You're just going to have to overcome it. You're just one of those that's just going to have to be extra cautious on what you consume. It is what it is. Stop making excuses and say, well, because I don't have so-and-so's health, I'm just going to... What a lousy attitude. Unprofitable and wicked. That's what the Master says. I've been given the Holy Ghost. I have been granted an opportunity to be in the church. I don't care what it costs. Let's pay it. Let's do right with it. You shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents. I'm giving you this talent. Use it. Don't have the Holy Ghost and just let hell run all over you. Stand up. Don't have Christ in you, the hope of glory, and cow down to everything that comes your way. Right. Amen. Some would say, I would never fall, preacher, if I was never tempted. Every man is tempted, but not everyone falls. That's right. Amen. Well, I'm just tempted more. No, you're not. Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, looking unto Jesus. And so I give you power. I'm giving you this talent. Do something with it. But before you do something with it, you got to have a right perspective and attitude about it. Let's stand together. James 1. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. But say attitude. And receive with meekness, say attitude, the engrafted word. Receive the word which is able to save your souls. The word is able. It doesn't mean that it will do it without your cooperation. But it's able to do its part if you'll do yours. Verse 22, but be ye what? What? I got to do something with it? Yes. If you want it to work, you do. If you want to hear well done, then you've got to do well with what you've been gifted. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive the word and do what it says. We've been given the gospel. The reason why we're in the church today is because we obeyed the gospel. We did something with the saving message, repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. We did something with what we were given. It was presented to us and we obeyed it. 1 Corinthians 4, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards. Somebody say stewards. Stewards of the mysteries. What's a steward? A steward is a servant that has the responsibility of managing the affairs of the master. He has the say-so of what goes on. And everyone else reports to him, but he reports to the master. And so as a steward of the mysteries of God, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. You got to do right with what you've been given. We've been given the Holy Ghost. We've been given authority. We've been given the gospel. We've been given truth. We have been given grace. We then, 2 Corinthians 6:1, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Lastly, 1 Peter 4, I close. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Pass it on. Put it to use. As good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. God was good enough to help you. Be good enough to try to help someone else. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Do the best you can with what you got. Do something with what you have. Don't say, because I don't have what so-and-so has, I won't do anything. You'll never get nothing done. I'm going to take what I've got, and I'm going to use it to the glory of God, that God in all things may be glorified. That's what it's all about. It's not about how much potential. It's not about my ability. It's not about my talent. It's about God has given me something. He's given me an opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of it. Let's lift our hands and thank God right now. Lord, I worship your name. I'm telling that the pebble I just threw in the pond, it has a lot of ripples. I understand that. But we're about to have an opportunity to pray. Let's have a right attitude about it and do something with it. You see, and then church is going to start. And we're going to have been given an opportunity to magnify and worship the King. Are my attitude about the opportunity will determine my participation and my reaction and my response, won't it? Let's just be honest. And so let's have a right attitude. If there's something needs to get fixed, let's get it fixed. Amen. The word of God, when it comes forth, mix it with faith. Do right with what you've been given. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of truth. Now, a lot of times, it's not about opportunities of things that we're given to do. Sometimes we have an opportunity for something to not do, to not talk back. I'm given an opportunity to give someone a piece of my mind, but I'm going to choose not to, because I want to please the Lord. I guess what it all boils down to, right, is just living right, because I want to. I want to hear the Master say, well done. And so I determined to do well. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless you so much. Refresh yourself if necessary. It's 1:30. Let's get back in here as soon as we can, and let's have good prayer. Let's pray like we know how to pray. Lord, bless you so much. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.